Hey, let's hear it for the video team. You wouldn't believe how much time goes into making one of those videos. Seriously, it's a lot of work. Those guys are doing a great job, and they're getting better and better at it all the time. I love it. Well, I have one more announcement for you. I've been a music pastor for many years. I have a different title now, but I still, jump in. To all of the things that happen musically and creatively. And Christmas is about two-thirds of my year. And so I've been thinking about Christmas for a long time, and so have some other people. And a couple people from our creative arts team, Val and Kayla, have written a brand new play. It's very exciting. It's a comedy. And it's going to be really, really great. And they're going to have auditions. And these auditions are Thursday, September 7th. That's this week. And Tuesday, September 12th. So sign up at the Welcome Center. All ages are welcome. They have parts for different ages. So that'd be great if you have. They didn't tell me to say this, but normally they ask people to come with a monologue of some kind. If you don't know what a monologue is, don't worry. Just come, and they'll figure out something for you to say or read or to do. So don't be afraid. It's lots of fun. And so come out for the auditions for the new Christmas play. Very exciting. Today I'm going to be wrapping up our series, Count It All Joy, in the book of James. So if you want to get there ahead of time, let's go to James chapter 5, if you've got your Bible with you. I will have some verses on the screen, but it's always kind of nice to follow along in your own Bible. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. And while you're doing that, I just want to share, I was walking through the worship center the other day, and a week or so ago, and I was praying over the church, and when I got about to right over there in the corner, I began to come to this obvious realization that each and every person here is different, obviously. I just began to think of everybody, and imagining all of you in these pews or chairs, whatever we might have, and you sitting there, and thinking each person is so different, you're all at a different place in your walk with Christ. There's different places. Maybe you've never had a relationship with Christ, and that's where you are. You are kind of infancy. You're feeding on milk, as the Bible says. Maybe you are just getting to know Jesus. And so that's where you're at right now. And feeding on the milk of the word, as the Bible says, is what you need to do. And so maybe you accepted Christ a long time ago and you never really grew. I hope that's not you, but maybe that's you. But today's your day. You can move forward. And so maybe that's you and you just never grew too much and you've kind of been involved in other things and you come to church. Maybe you are a person who loves Jesus, but maybe you're kind of stepping in the world a little bit too much, more than Jesus would like you to. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're a person that loves Jesus, but you really do want to do what he wants you to do, and you are committed to him. You talk to him regularly every day. You are in the Word of God regularly, not because you have to, but because you want to. And it's in your heart, and you're doing your best to follow Christ. And that's really where, as pastors, where we want everybody here to be, so that you want Jesus, and you want to do what he wants you to do. So we're all in different places, and I'm not looking at anybody and judging anybody today. So we're all in a different place in our walk with Christ. Then you have the issue of personalities. I begin to think about that. This all happened within the span probably of 30 seconds standing over there. I don't know. But I begin to think we're so different, each and every one of us. That's because God wanted it that way. We're supposed to be different. It makes you wonderfully unique. You know, we've got different personalities. So, you know, you got one person who thinks very linear. So everything's, you know, just in a line, you know. Everything's very organized. I used to know a guy that literally would plan out every hour of every day. And, I mean, it just blew my mind when I would see this. A successful person. But that's what he would do. And I mean, I just can't wrap my head around that, you know. Most of us can't, but you know, people that are this way, they're very organized, it's great, but people like that can be, you know, a little uptight. Let's just call it as it is. It can be a little uptight. You know, then if they're over here, then let's say you get the person over on this left side, more of a feelings person. You know, and they want as little to be planned as possible. And they just, you know, they just want everything to be real, to go with the flow. Just go with the flow, you know, just go with the flow. And they don't want to plan anything. And if you do plan too much, I mean, it'll ruin everything. So don't plan too much. And I can tell you that sometimes these people have, you know, the kind of messy bedrooms. I mean, sometimes they have. I said that in the first service. I mean, you could have heard a pin drop, and I was like, no, I'm not dropping that. I'm keeping that. I'm sure you're all like, I have a messy bedroom, but I'm not like that. So, yeah. Sorry. Then you have everybody in between, you know, maybe mixing both of these examples. So, you know, you got some people who are no nonsense, you know, and they get frustrated with people easily, and they don't have very much patience. And then you got thoroughly compassionate people who are awesome. You think, you know, but, you know, everybody who has their feelings hurt or that they feel they're wrong, you kind of go to their defense, you know, and, you know, to protect them. You know, some of us have naturally aggressive personalities, and man, you people get a lot done. Sometimes you run over a few of us in the meantime, but you get a lot done. And then, you know, you got naturally passive people who, you know, sometimes these people are peacemakers, and we need peacemakers, do we ever. But sometimes you have a hard time making decisions. You know, you might have a hard time deciding where you're going to have dinner, you know, things like that. You know, we're all different, and there's awesome things about each of our personalities. We got people who laugh easily, and then we got people who hardly laugh at all, but you kind of wish you could, you know. And you've got it all. And this church has a wide range of personalities because I know people in this church under every heading I've just mentioned, and it's awesome. It is awesome. And I was praying and back in the corner over there. And I said, God, everybody's so different. How in the world can this diverse group of people move together? How can they all be united? They're so different. And I got to say that this church, by and large, I really wasn't praying for unity because I feel like our church, by and large, is pretty united. And that in and of itself is a miracle of God. It really is. The fact that here we're so different, and I mean, we don't see things the same a lot of the time, and yet you love each other. And that's the beauty of the church. It's so cool. And I can't fix people. That was another realization I came to. I can't fix you. I can't fix any one of you. I really can't. And I can't fix myself on my own. I really can't, because I've tried to do that. I have tried to fix myself, and I'm constantly trying to fix myself, and I end up with a big mess. Because we can't fix ourselves. And as I was in prayer, the Holy Spirit just let me know the obvious, which should be obvious to most of us, is that the only one who can bring us together, who can fix us, to help us to become more like Christ. And by the way, Christ loved everybody. He loved every kind of personality. He really did. It's the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one who fixes us. And again, I say that the fact that despite all of our differences, we can get along and love each other at all is the beauty of the church. And when people run here and there and people leave the church altogether, just the church as a whole, they're missing out on one of the greatest things, because that's how we grow. That's how you're going to grow, is the tough stuff, you know, living together, kind of grinding it out with one another sometimes. It's not all roses. You know, sometimes you have to work together. You know, we have a worship team up here that has sometimes, you know, a lot of people on it and that kind of a thing. And the only way that these people get together every week, a few times a week, really, and still make good music and love each other and keep doing what they do is because they are committed to one another. When they have disagreements, they work it out, and that's how they grow. That's how we're all going to grow. So it's a great thing. It's a tough thing. But we must let him change us. Once we ask Christ into our lives, it's up to us to let him change us. And that takes constant choices, and it takes a determination to follow Christ. Now, this is the last session in our series on the book of James, Count It All Joy. And James is talking about, through the book, about change. He's about changes in us and how we're to live, okay? So we're going to go through these last few scriptures, verses 13 through 20. And then at the end, I'm going to focus on something in particular that's in here that will help us. It's going to help everybody in this room. Okay, so we're going to start off with chapter 5, verse 13 of James. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Pretty simple. Look to God. Don't worry. Tell him about it. And I'm going to talk more about this in a minute. And each one of these, I'm going to lay it out pretty simple, okay? So the next one is the second part of verse 13 is, anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. So when you're happy, don't just let it pass. And what I mean by that is it needs to be an attitude of your heart, so that when you're happy, when you're having a good time with people and you're laughing and you just feel good, you know, I love those times in our life, and maybe that you're that way right now. I'm not saying you blurt out, thank you, Jesus. I mean, you might once in a while, but it could be kind of awkward. There's a bunch of people there, but it's just in your spirit, you know. You're just in your spirit thanking the Lord when you're happy. It's a good thing. And there's times when we're together when James says, let them sing songs of praise. There's times to sing songs of praise, not just in church, but when you're by yourself, when you're with other people somewhere else. Maybe you're going to, you might just say, you know, you're with a group of people. Maybe you're at somebody's house and you're having coffee or whatever, and you're talking about different things, and you're kind of near the end of a conversation. Somebody might just go, let's sing a song. And so you're going to sing a song of praise, something simple. It's a great thing. Let your joy overflow to Christ. So, verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. Are you sick today? Have you been sick? So, we've been talking about seeking the Lord on our own, but now we're talking about involving the church. Okay, we're involving other people, the fellowship of believers. It's a unifying thing. So God has his purposes for all these things. And so he wants us to pray for one another because it's a unifying thing. That's one way that we have unity. And it builds not only you, but the body of Christ. And in this case, James is talking about elders or pastors. And probably if somebody is very sick, when you'll see this kind of thing happen, and they want the leadership of the church to come and pray for them. I've been a part of that before. And then he talks about anointing them with oil. Back in that day, oil was medicinally used. Could have been something that James is talking about. Probably more how we think of it, that anointing with oil is an image for us. It's an image that when you pray for someone and either and you anoint them with oil, you might have had that done to you, or you pray for someone else and you anoint them with oil, it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit, so that we know it's not us, no matter how great a prayer you prayed. It's not you who's healing the person, it's God who's healing the person, and it's a great reminder for us that it's the Holy Spirit that does the work, and it's the Holy Spirit that heals. Can you say amen to that? Yes. Awesome. And God will answer prayer. And we ought to pray boldly, believing that He is a God of power and love, and that He listens to the prayers of His people. God is listening. He's always listening. All right, verse 15. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. If we're in sin, sometimes it can cause us to be sick. You might think, well, really? Well, not necessarily from a moral perspective. I'm talking about physical sickness. You can actually be sick from sin. Maybe it's through stress. Maybe you've made some wrong choices, and in some cases it was sinning, and it's caused things in your life to be turned upside down, possibly from something you've done. And it can be very stressful, and it can make you physically sick from all that stress. Loose living can cause sickness. Through bitterness, maybe you've been a bitter person. I hope that's not you today. But sometimes being bitter can cause sickness. I've known people that were bitter people. They held on to things. They talked ill of other people. And I believe it literally made them sick. Sometimes it was even with arthritis, that kind of a thing. And you could just see it. You could just see it happening to them. And you just wish that they could confess their sin to someone, ask forgiveness, and the Lord can heal. And so that's what this is talking about here, confessing our sin. And in many cases, you know, you can be healed. In the end, James is saying, pray for one another in honesty and sincerity, with forgiveness and with great faith. And of course, God will always forgive when we come to Him with sincere hearts. And this can happen anywhere. It doesn't have to happen in a church building. It can happen anywhere. You can be with someone else anywhere. And if you feel like, wow, I got to unload something here. I am in sin in some area of my life. And I trust this person. And I feel like I need to confess it to them. Sometimes that's the best thing to do. And God will forgive you. And I'm sure the person that you're entrusting there will help you and give you some kind words and help you through that time. And that can heal you. That can heal your spirit. Okay. All right, verse 17. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. I wish he would pray here that it would rain. It did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So Elijah was a prophet of God. If you may not be familiar with him, some of you are. He did many miracles in the Old Testament. That's before Christ. James makes clear that Elijah was simply a representative human being. Okay? We can kind of get this idea that these prophets were somehow holier than we are in some way. Elijah was a fallen, stubborn person just like us, but one who on these occasions, he was in touch with the Spirit of God. And it was the Spirit of God that enabled him to do these miraculous things and to pray and have it not rain for 3.5 years. That was God's design. And his prayers did not come from arrogance, but from trust and confidence in God. The prophet Elijah was not a superhero. okay? They're not going to make a show about Elijah and being one of our superheroes because he was just like you and me. And James is saying that we have the same ability to pray powerfully. All right, so the last couple of verses in the book of James. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Now, this can kind of be a controversial scripture. I've heard a few different things about this scripture, but I'm going to be very simple. I'm a simple man, and I'm going to give it to you very simply. Here we go. If a believer strays from following Christ, so someone who believes in Jesus Christ, and you stray from that path of following Christ, and you, as a fellow believer, you help lead them back to that road of following Christ. God will forgive their sins as they repent. That's how they come back. But if you help them along the way, then God will forgive their sins as they repent. Again, they have their responsibility there, and they come back to Him. If a person is lost, has never received Christ, doesn't know God personally, and you help to reveal the truth of Christ to them, they will be saved from spiritual death and raised to life by Christ, and He will forgive their sins. I was speaking with a person the other day. They were very afraid. They didn't have very long to live, and they did not have the assurance of Christ. They didn't have, I don't know if this person is saved or not. I'm not sure. But I know one thing is that they did not have the assurance of Christ, and that they were afraid. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. Thank Jesus for His sacrifice and the fact that we can know Him personally like you know your friends. Okay? Amen? Amen. If it's a sinning Christian who's turned away, and we used to call this a backsliding Christian, an old term, you may save them from an early physical death because such a person might be into drugs and going down a road. I mean, I was there in my life. If I would have kept going, I mean, there were several times I could have been killed, literally killed from doing drugs and from alcohol in excess. And several times the Lord saved me. But if you turn a person back, you help them out of their situation and they turn their life around, you might save them from physical death because they could die from what they're doing. So this final verse, it almost seems out of place because we've been talking about all this prayer and different types of prayer. But really, James is wrapping up his letter, is what he's doing. And he has spoken about how we are to live this Christian life. And that if we are believers, we ought to live like we are. Live like a believer. And if you do, other people will be able to see that you are a believer and that you live it out, okay? And that's what he's saying. And so the greatest thing in terms of works or living this way is leading somebody back to Christ. So that's why he's ending this letter this way. That's the greatest thing that we can do is to lead someone else back to Jesus. So if you're living right, that's the outcome. Now, our hope as pastors is that you become a person that's growing in Christ. Why do you think I'm walking around praying over this place? I'm imagining you in these pews. And I know Pastor Tim probably does something similar, just in different ways. Pastor Troy, Pastor BJ over his kids, and Pastor Ben over the kids, and whatever it might be. We love you guys, and we want you to flourish. You know, we really do. We want you to flourish. We don't want you to struggle. We want you to flourish. It's not some checklist that we have. It's not like, you know, okay, now you're going to read your Bible 15 minutes a day. Well, fantastic. I think that's great. But it's not a checklist. we want you to do that because it'll change your life. And it'll change somebody else's life. We want you to pray. Susie decides she comes up and tells me, I'm praying 20 minutes a day. I think that's great, but it's not a checklist. It's going to change your life. So that's what gets us excited, okay? And that's what we're praying for. We want you guys to flourish in this life. Because we know that the only way you're going to live a life that's fulfilling for you, a life filled with joy, is through your relationship with Christ. It's not going to come any other way. Everything else is going to be temporary, okay? And that's it. I mean, everything else, because you can think of the greatest things in your life, like family, friends, accomplishments, goals, entertainment. Life has so many great things, okay? I think of my little grandson, and just brings joy. And when I think of one of the greatest things, is that my microphone doing that, Stephen? I might switch. I'm going to switch.
Okay. So when I think of my grandson, that's he brings such great joy to Teresa and I. He really does. But everything needs to go back to Christ. It needs to start with Christ, and that is going to bring you fulfillment. It's when Christ is in everything in your life. And that's our prayer for you. And we won't be able to grow or to make a lasting effect for eternity without one thing, and that's talking to God. And what do we call talking to God? We call it prayer, okay? We call it prayer. That's what the Bible calls it. So chapter 5, verse 13 says this: is anyone in trouble, let him pray. So this is what I'm going to focus on here at the end. Let's see, trouble. So troubles, like difficulty, it's problems that we encounter, something that causes distress or anxiety for us. So what comes under the heading of trouble? I've listed a few things. Here we go. Financial struggles, that can be a stress. That can be trouble. Hurting relationships that have gone south, gone wrong, that can be trouble. Marital relationships can be trouble. Bad neighbors. Do you ever have bad neighbors? I hope not. But it can be trouble. I'm just listing things. Friends that don't like you at school. That's no good. Someone is bullying you. Now, that's a bummer. I used to have some people who bullied me when I was a freshman. I hate to admit that, but it was very true. I was smaller then. Anyway, getting behind in your homework can be problems. That can be trouble. Employees are being disruptive. Say you're a boss, you have employees, that's trouble. Your boss is being disruptive. Oh, that's no good. Fellow employees are being disruptive. Your car won't run. Washing machine quit working. Maybe your dog died. Problems are on a train. Problems on a plane. Problems at workplace. Trouble on a football team, a basketball team, volleyball team. Broken TVs, broken laptops, broken phones. Trouble at work, trouble at home, trouble at church, trouble inside, trouble outside, trouble, trouble, trouble. There's so much trouble in this life. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. Yes, he did. But it's all right. Because then what did he say? He said, take heart. I have overcome the world. You're going to be okay. You're going to have trouble. I always like to say, don't get too upset about the thing you're going through right now because there's one right behind it. So that's how trouble is. That's life. That's why we need Jesus, one of the many reasons. So, who should we go to when we have trouble? Jesus, okay? And so whatever your trouble is, pray. So just going back to the trouble issue, I'm just going to give you a simple example. If you're not used to praying on a regular basis, it's so simple. So simple. Let's say somebody is bullying you. I'm going to give you an example of how to pray. Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm in a bad situation. This person is bigger than me. I'm afraid sometimes. I don't know what to do. I need your help. Show me who to tell. Show me what adult I'm supposed to tell. I'm in trouble. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I love you. Help me to show the love of Christ. I love you, Jesus. Please help me in this situation. Bam. That's it. It's simple. It's so simple talking to God. Okay? A quick example, just in simple things in life, because God wants us to talk about the simple things. Okay? James says in chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, that we don't have because we don't ask. And that's the truth. We think we ask, but you're only asking when you really need something or something's kind of big. You need to ask all the time. Ask all the time. You know how it goes sometimes when things go wrong in your house and suddenly you're in trouble. And not trouble. I don't want to tell you that I was in trouble. But it's trouble. It is trouble. My garage door opener went out, among other things. And it was bad timing. That's not that that's ever good timing. And so I had to lift it manually for a while. And when I called for a replacement, to have it replaced was $350. At the time, I had other things going on. I couldn't pay it. So had to go manually. And I am not a fix-it guy. So I don't know if you can relate to that. I'm a musician. So I have a musician's brain. And now some guys are different, but for me, it just makes my brain work hard to fix things. It's like, I don't quite understand this thing. I can look at it and go, I don't know how that goes together. I just so respect you guys that can do that and look at something and go, oh, I love that. I can put that together and make it all work. Well, I can't do that easily. Now, when I do fix something, I'm like pumped. Yes. So in this case, $350, it went, I don't know how long it went on, 4 or 5 weeks. And finally, I was like, I got to get this thing fixed. You know, the weather's going to change. Teresa's going to need to get that door open. So one day, and I was just praying about that and other things. And I said, Lord, help me out. I don't know what to do. So I, bing, light bulb, go look at the opener, the old one. So I went and looked at it. Oh, there's all these shavings in there. Like plastic shavings. And I was like, that's got to be something. This can't be good. And so then I looked, and there's a gear in there, and it was just stripped. Okay, well, I didn't know how they worked. I didn't know that there was a gear. I didn't know what there was in there. So I looked at that, and I went, I think I might be able to fix this. So I got on YouTube. Yes, somebody has a video, exactly the one I have, exactly how to fix it. Instead of $350, it was $17. Done. Yes, now I had thrown away one of my, the clicker. Anyway, the clickers, you know, you hit, you know, the remote. I still have one left. I threw it away because I thought the thing was old and no good, so I have to get another one, but we won't worry about that right now. Okay, so I asked the Lord. It's just something simple like that. You think, well, that's no big deal. I asked the Lord. Ask the Lord. Okay. You might say, Pastor Roger, I get distracted when I start to pray. I just want to give you a hint. There still is paper and pencil that's still in existence for all of you who still can use a pencil and paper and write with your own hand instead of typing everything. Yes, and so when you're praying and you're distracted, write it down. Write it down. No big deal. Just write it down, and then you'll be amazed at how it leaves your brain. And just don't think, I don't want to bother God with that. God wants to talk to you. He wants you to talk to him all the time. You're not bothering him. And I'm just going to say one more thing. When my kids were little, now Jesus said we're supposed to be like little children. When my kids were little, they asked all kinds of things all the time. So if I was doing something like, I don't know, changing a light bulb, I can do that. changing a light bulb, you know, I can remember Alyssa, Daddy, what are you doing? You know, and I'm changing a light bulb. What is that? Well, it's this thing. What is that for? It shines light. Well, why do I need, what's that for? Well, so we can see. Well, what, you know, why? Well, you need to, and then you kind of get to the point, well, okay, I'll talk to you in just a second. Let me just change this bulb, and then I'll answer every question you got. Okay, so we're supposed to ask, just like children. We're supposed to ask God all the time. Now, this series has been counted all joy. When you encounter various trials, and trials are another word for trouble. So, when we have trouble, after all that I've just said, what are we supposed to do? Pray. A few of you got it. Everybody say it together. Pray. One more time. Pray. Talk to God. Now, we have our worship team, which is supposed to come up front. Thank you very much for coming, worship team. And we have a group of young people that are going to school this week. So we want to pray for them this morning. And Pastor Ben is going to come up, and he's going to lead us in a time of being able to pray for these guys. And remember, prayer is a simple thing. God wants us to ask, and he is listening as Pastor Ben is going to lead us this morning. Pastor Ben.
Yes, thank you. So we have some students that are going to be coming in, and they have been super quiet in the hallway. So you got to just give it up for these kids. They've done a great job. But I also want to invite college students. College students, come up. Come up. I saw a Reese over there. A college student needs to come up. Junior high, high school, junior high or high schoolers, come on up. All these guys are going to be starting school. And I tell you what, I love to think when my kids start complaining, like, oh, you guys have it so easy. It was so much harder when I was a kid. But the truth is, the devil has never been trickier than he is today. Things in our trying to distract our kids. Oh, just keep moving in, guys. Keep these kids. Come on. Keep moving in. We got to pray for you. We got to see you. We got to see those faces. The truth is, guys, it is harder to be a kid now than ever. It is harder to love Jesus now than ever for these kids. And we got to lift them up. We got to pray for them. We only get so many weeks with these kids. If you remember from my sermon a couple weeks ago, we only get so much time, and we got to lift them up now. So would everybody stand up with me? We're going to pray. Georgia, you can stay right there because no one's going to see you if you don't stand up on the stage. All right. So we're just going to pray, and if you want to lift out a hand, you can as we pray for them in their school year this year. Jesus, we pray that you would help our kids to have a great year. God, we pray that this year you would strengthen their faith in you. God, we pray that you would expand their minds, but also expand their spirits. Help them to love you more. God, we pray for those that would want to harm them. God, we pray you would keep them far from our kids. God, we pray that you would strengthen them. God, we pray for good friends. We pray that they would not only be liked by their classmates, God, but you would put people in their lives that'll help them love you more. We pray that you would keep them healthy. And God, we pray for those teachers. We pray for those administrators. God, that they would speak your truth into these kids' lives. That they would speak good stuff and not bad stuff into them. And Lord, for all of our people at home who are doing homeschool, God, we just pray an extra blessing on those people. Oh, God, that you would be with them. Help them to have a great year as well. We lift these kids up to you, God, knowing that there is no better place for them to be. Protect our kids. Protect our kids this year. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Give it up for our kids. They're awesome. Guys, you can go ahead and head out this way. Head out, right out those doors. No wrestling.
Open wide.
My heart is open wide. I will receive your light. You give me faith like a child.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
In you, my heart runs wild.
Define the love of God.
More than words, more than good ideas. I found your love in the open field. More than words, more than good ideas. I found your love in the open field. From the
Amen. Lord, take each one of us away from this place, talking to you, serving you, and having joy doing it along the way. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys have a great, great day.